today as we come to the table.
What's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to the believer? And people are starting to live in fear, and people are starting to be afraid. Listen, the same God that ruled then is the same God that rules today. He's still on the throne, and we need to remember that. And the same Holy Spirit who operated in power in that day is the same Holy Spirit who operates in power in this day. And we've got to remember, even as God came upon the Old Testament saints, God comes upon the New Testament saints and does that particular work of the Spirit to give us power. So that when the government is closing in, or when the enemies are closing in, or when we're afraid, we can now walk in boldness and fullness of the Lord. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us as orphans.
Even though our world is ever changing, God doesn't and hasn't changed. His power, His presence, and His goodness haven't changed since Bible times, and we're promised it's not going to change anytime soon. God still does miracles. God still heals. God still cares for His people, no matter what the world's doing. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you to let fear stay just as it is, an emotion. Fear of the future should never hold you back or make you think God's power has diminished in any sense. Don't be fearful of what is to come. Trust God knows best, because God remains faithful even through your doubt and fear. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 3, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
And if you got your Bibles, let's open them up to Judges chapter 3. And as you guys are finding your way to Judges chapter 3, why don't we just pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, we live in a time where the church is experiencing some persecution and the church is experiencing some fear. And Lord, your answer to that is the power of the Holy Spirit. God, throughout history, you have given your power to make the church bold and strong and to give the church courage. And Lord, we need it today more than ever. It almost seems as though, Lord, this is one of those repeating cycles for the church where it's time for us now to rise up and turn to you. And God, for you to do something new and fresh in your church. And God, we're excited about that. And I pray that as we get into your word today, God, you would speak to us. You would show us your intention for the church and the power, Lord, that you give the church as we live in a generation that needs your power more than ever and needs your witness more than ever. So God, open your word, and I thank you, Lord, for just your heart and your spirit, God, being there for us and with us even now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 3. Actually, last time we kind of finished looking at Othniel, but we didn't really finish. We stopped short because I wanted to focus in on verses 10 and 11 today, because I think this is just as important for where we are as a church as looking at some of the issues we looked at last week. This is an extremely important issue, and that is the works of the Holy Spirit. And so look it with me, if you will, at verses 10 and 11 of Judges chapter 3. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, that is Othniel, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years, and then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Now, if you remember last week, we ended with Othniel receiving power from God, and again, we just read that right there, but receiving power from God and delivering the children of Israel from the situation they were in. And the reason this is so important to me, and the reason I wanted to take a week to focus in and look just at the works of the Holy Spirit before we moved on in the book of Judges, is because they were living in days that I believe we are living in today. And not only that, I believe the early church was living in days that we're living in today as well, and that is where we need to understand and call out to God for the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and in our lives as well. And I think if we're going to be able to truly call out with a heart of understanding, we have to understand the works of the Spirit. We have to understand how God works in our life. You know, it's interesting when you look back at the early church, They had no TV, no internet, no cars, or trains, or airplanes, or any means of transportation like that. Everything was simply in the primitive form as we think of today, horses, buggy, etc. Except the interesting thing about that is the early church reached the entire world in their generation. Now, some believe they didn't do that, that they only reached part of the known world. Whether you want to argue the known world or the entire world, doesn't matter. They spread literally around the world without any of the modern things that we have today. And I find that interesting in light of the fact that we have all of the modern means of communication and travel today, and we still haven't reached much of the world for Christ. Why is that? Why was the early church in their primitive form able to spread around the world with the gospel, and we today still have large swatches or swaths of people who don't even know about Jesus Christ? There's one difference between the church today and the early church that made that happen, and that was the power of the Holy Spirit and the works of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't have the work of the Holy Spirit in His church today, and that throughout history there hasn't been the work of the Holy Spirit as God has moved in His church. What I'm saying is the church in that day, when it was first born, was unified in the works of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, God was able to do an amazing work. And that's my heart for us here at Calvary Chapel, that we would be unified in the work of the Holy Spirit, understanding how He works, inviting Him to work that way, and really for the Church of America, understanding how He works and inviting Him to work so that we might see revival in America. And again, it kind of really feeds off of last week's message. You know, it's interesting, when we look at the different works of the Spirit, we're going to see with Othniel, and we're going to touch on that again in just a moment, that the Holy Spirit came upon him and he received power to conquer his enemies. And that is, there are different works of the Spirit, and one of the works of the Spirit is the coming upon from the outside to give us power. Now, when you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament and the work of the Holy Spirit didn't work the same way in both. Now, what do I mean by that? Was he the same? Yes. But did he work the same? No, because he was limited. Let me explain. In the Old Testament, you only have two works of the Holy Spirit. You'll see this as you read all the way through the Old Testament. He was with the believer, and he came upon the believer. Those two works, with the believer and upon the believer, for power. And you'll notice that every time power was needed for one of God's servants, the Holy Spirit came upon them. He would be with them to lead them in the direction they needed to go, but when they needed to really go, then God gave that upon experience, that work of the Spirit in their life. Now, we get to the New Testament, we see three different works of the Spirit, and I'll explain why there is a difference and why one has now been added. In the New Testament, we see three works of the Spirit. God is with us, God is in us, and God is upon us. It's used by three different Greek prepositions. The word with is the word para in the Greek, and it means alongside. The Holy Spirit is alongside of us. The word en or en in the Greek is where we get the word in, or indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that is the word used for that. The third word used in the New Testament is the same derivative or same idea of what was going on in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophets and the kings and servants. The Holy Spirit now comes upon us, and it's the preposition epi, E-P-I, and it means an outside event coming upon you for power. And actually, it just means an outside event coming upon you. But when we look at the scripture, we see that every time that it did that, or every time that that was done by the Holy Spirit, we received, or the believers received, power. And so we're going to look at these and break them down. We're going to take just a moment to look at a couple of things in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament is full of examples of the Holy Spirit coming, being with believers and coming upon them. We're not going to do an exhaustive study of the Holy Spirit, or you'd be exhausted by the time we're done. That'd have to be kind of a multi-week thing. But we're going to see those works, and then we're going to move into the New Testament and see the added work of the indwelling, and the three works in the New Testament, or rather we'll talk about that and see all three of them in the New Testament when we get there as well, and explain the differences. Now, first of all, we have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And that might sound basic to some of you, but for some people it's not that basic. And that is, a lot of the images we get of who the Holy Spirit is, if you watch a lot of Christian TV, or maybe even some things on the radio, or whatever you run across, they treat the Holy Spirit like it's this thing they can manipulate. Maybe they wrap the Holy Spirit up in a ball and they throw it on someone, or they blow on people and they make them fall down by the Holy Spirit. Guys, the Bible does not say that the Holy Spirit is a thing you can manipulate. The Holy Spirit is a person. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And that is, you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a person, and He's actually God. And he is not something you can manipulate. However, he does impart power to believers to do what God has called them to do. And again, we see that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as this upon experience, God coming upon them and giving them power to do the work of the ministry. Now, why is it we have different works of the Holy Spirit in the Old and New Testament? Because in the Old Testament, Jesus had not yet died for the sins of man. Now, why does that matter? What that means is, until Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit could not come and indwell or live inside of any of us. Why? Because although we may be forgiven by the sacrifices we took to the priest, and we may be followers of God in the Old Testament, our sins were not taken away. They were simply temporarily covered. And that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the blood of animals temporarily covered the sins of the Old Testament believers until Jesus Christ could come, die on the cross by his blood. Now the sins that had been covered for all these centuries were now washed away forever. And so we find the forgiveness in the cross, the temporary covering in the Old Testament. But because the sins in the Old Testament were only temporarily covered until the cross, what that means is God could not inhabit unclean vessels. So God could not come to live inside of us as believers. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, I'm an unclean vessel now. Look, I know that we're sinners. We know that we're not perfect. But the good news is the blood of Jesus covers our sin. So what that means is because the blood is covering our sin, God can literally now, as of the cross, move inside of the believer and inhabit. And that's what the Bible says the Holy Spirit does. At the moment of conversion, you already had God with you. He was drawing you to him by that. The moment you give your life to Christ, you immediately have the in work of the Spirit, the indwelling, the en there, the Greek word used in the language. He comes to move inside. And Paul talks about that in Romans as well as other places in Scripture. So that is the new one. And then the one that is the remaining one that we're going to look at here first in the Old Testament is the upon work of the Spirit, where God gives God's power for the believer to be able to either do a special task for God or really just to walk with God. And what's exciting about this is the Lord has now made this particular work of the Spirit available to every believer. Every believer now has access to this. Jesus said in John 14, 16 through 17, I want you to see his preparation for what was coming on the indwelling, but what we already had going. Listen to what he said. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. There's the word para, alongside. And he will be, notice future tense, he will be in you. And that is where he was talking about the cross. Now, apart from the cross, we see the work of the upon, that is power for the believer, all through the Scripture. And you know, we've taught on this before, but I don't think I've ever taught and shown you in the Old Testament some examples at the same time we've talked about it in the New. And I think this is important to establish because a lot of people, even within the church, falsely believe that the new thing that happened at Pentecost was God poured out his Spirit on his people and gave them the gifts. That wasn't new at all. As a matter of fact, that's something that had been happening throughout all the Old Testament. God did the same thing. If you go back and read Moses, when he was anointing the elders for the church in the wilderness, it says God poured out his Spirit on the elders of Israel. As a matter of fact, two of the elders of Israel had remained in the camp and weren't even gathered with all the other elders, and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. God came upon them, and people said, hey, there's people that have been filled with the Spirit even within the camp. And so God has been doing this throughout history and coming upon his people and his believers. But again, the reason I think this is such an important thing for us to understand today is because I believe we're in the same days as they were in Acts. And what do I mean by that? In Acts, what had happened was the government was increasing persecution on the church, and the church was becoming more and more afraid. It's amazing how many people I've run into since these court cases and this couple of weeks ago, and people, I'm afraid. What's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to the believer? And people are starting to live in fear, and people are starting to be afraid. Listen, the same God that ruled then is the same God that rules today. He's still on the throne, and we need to remember that. And the same Holy Spirit who operated in power in that day is the same Holy Spirit who operates in power in this day. And we've got to remember, even as God came upon the Old Testament saints, God comes upon the New Testament saints and does that particular work of the Spirit to give us power so that when the government is closing in or when the enemies are closing in or when we're afraid, we can now walk in boldness and fullness of the Lord. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us as orphans. You know, it's interesting. You look at Peter, you want to see a graphic example of what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon a believer. And we saw, let's look at this in the scriptures first of what happens here with Othniel. Look at verse 10. It says with Othniel, again, the Spirit of the Lord came, what? Upon him, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cusheth Rishathaim, and of course the land, it says, had rest for 40 years. What did God do for Othniel when he needed to have boldness and courage and power to defeat the enemies of God and the enemies of Israel in his day? God came upon him. That work of the Spirit for power. But again, I want to look at several of these, not just, as I said, we're not going to go through the whole Old Testament and look, but I thought it would be good to look at a couple more in the book of Judges, because we're going to be coming to that anyway. And then I wanted you guys to understand how this work of the Spirit works in the believer's life, because it is also available for us today. And that is, God will give us power when he comes upon us and moves by his Spirit. The next one I want you to look at is Judges chapter 6. We'll stay in Judges for the Old Testament. Go to verses 33 and 34 of chapter 6. And now we come to a man by the name of Gideon. Now, I associate with Gideon a lot. Why? Because Gideon was the youngest of his family, like I am. Gideon said to the Lord, you know, I'm the youngest in my family. I come from the least of the tribes, and our family's basically nobody. And you're going to use me? Well, that's what I feel like. That's what I felt like growing up, that I was the youngest of my family. Our family was basically nobody. And I'm thinking that, God, would you ever use me? And so I associate with Gideon in that sense. But it's interesting because Gideon had fear. He was afraid to step out and do ministry. He was afraid to do battle for the Lord, the Bible tells us. And if you remember the story, which we don't have time to read, he was so afraid of the Midianites, the enemies of Israel, he was hiding down in a valley trying to winnow the wheat, you know. And you'd have to go up on a high place to do that. The way they used to do it back then, they would throw the wheat up in the air and the wind would blow the chaff away and the wheat would fall to the ground. He was down in a valley where no wind could be, down in a wine press area where no wind was, because he was afraid of the enemies of God. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up and says, hey, mighty man of valor, I'm going to use you. And he's like, you're kidding. Who are you talking to? You know, I kind of get this comical scene. I'd love to almost see that played out with the guy looking around for the mighty man of valor. But that's what God thinks about when he looks at you guys. He says, hey, mighty man. Hey, mighty woman of valor. And you're thinking, me? God, could you use me? Yes, if you allow him to come upon you with his Holy Spirit, he certainly will. And this is what Gideon learned. And now look at verses 33 and 34. It says, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and they encamped in the valley of Jezreel. Again, this was to battle against Israel. Tens of thousands of them. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The pauses are to point out this work of the Spirit in Gideon's life when he needed it. He came upon Gideon, and then Gideon blew the trumpet, and the Abiezerites gathered behind him. And it goes on to say he went to battle against the Midianites, and he defeated tens of thousands of Midianites with 300 men. Now, I know that it was God's Spirit. We understand that. But God came upon him for power to do something that seemed impossible when he was afraid, and God gave him boldness to do it and gave him victory to do it. That's exactly what we need to happen to us today. Now, what is another one? What about Samson? I want you to turn now to Judges chapter 14. It's interesting, when you look at Samson, I think a lot of times we think of Samson, we probably think he was some kind of bodybuilder and maybe had some Australian accent or something like that, right?
I've come to fight the Philistines, you know, or something.
I'm not convinced that Samson was a muscle man at all. Now, he may have been a sturdy guy, he may have been strong, but when you see God using Samson in power, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him and he had power. And Samson killed a lion with his bare hands. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. We'll read that in just a moment. This is not the kind of thing that a muscled man can do. I don't care how good of a fighter you are. I don't care how strong you are. You have to have supernatural power to do this kind of feat. And look at this in Judges 14, 5 and 6. 14, 5 and 6, listen to what it says. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah. And to his surprise, a young lion came roaring out against him. The young lions are the strong ones. They're the ones that do the hunting, even for the older lions. And notice verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Now, I would have run him, I just killed a lion, you know. Now, the reason he didn't tell them is because of all kinds of Levitical reasons and being unclean and touching an animal and all the religious cleansing. And by the way, although God used Samson, he wasn't exactly the greatest Christian model, we might say today, which is another whole teaching in itself. But he rips this thing apart. Listen, that doesn't happen by man's sheer power. Now look at Judges 15, verses 14 and 15. And look what it says. Speaking again of Samson, it says, "And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands." And look at this. "He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it." Now listen, you can do all the Bruce Lee imitations you want, but there's no way this guy could have done this without the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want you to see. When God's people need power, there is a specific work of the Spirit that is separate from the other two. It is separate from the indwelling. It is separate from being with you. The para is separate from that. It's the upon, or the epi there in the language, the coming upon in power. And God uses this and has used it not only in the life of the church since its inception, but I wanted you to see, first of all, that God has done the same thing in the Old Testament. And now when you read the Old Testament all the way through it, you're going to see that every time power is needed, God comes upon the king or upon the prophet or upon the servant. It was something that was available to the body of Christ then. It's something that's available to the body of Christ now, although they didn't have the indwelling as we do now. And this is where we get to the New Testament. Now I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. Because this is the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. And this is where God pours out his Spirit upon the church in Acts chapter 2. But it's also where the church has now received the indwelling work of the Spirit and all of them working now in fullness. It's almost as if in the Old Testament, God had to wait till he could give us the fullness of what he had for us. He said, "I want to be with you, I want to be in you, and I want to be upon you, but I can't be in you until I die on the cross. Once I die on the cross, I'll be in you." Now, by the way, for you Bible students, you will find one or two times in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit did come inside of someone, but he only stayed for a moment and then he left. So God came and did a specific work in the prophets and the saints that were able for that moment to do that, but he wasn't able to remain there because of the sin nature of man, and he had to leave. Now we have that indwelling permanently, as I said, the moment we receive Christ. And again, this is where we get to as we look at this in Acts chapter 2. Now, what's the setting? Well, if you remember the setting, Jesus in John chapter 20 had risen from the dead. He appeared to the disciples in the upper room, and it says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He had died on the cross. He was now ready to give the Holy Spirit's indwelling to the believers, because from that point on, we could all receive it. And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's the word lambano in the Greek, and it's in the command form. I'm telling you, take this.
Thanks for being with us today here on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. This radio program is an outpouring of the ministry happening at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are many intriguing stories from the book of Judges, but one of the ones that stands out to me is the story of Gideon. He put out that fleece three times to get a clearer answer or direction from God. God worked with Gideon in this, and he showed up mightily. In fact, God wanted to show what he could do with fewer people so that his ability to come through for his people would be evident. Instead of thousands to fight against their opponent, God had Gideon go up against the enemy with a few hundred men. This is how God works many times, coming in clutch at the last minute and doing things in such an unconventional way that you can only point to God for the answer and the solution. Do you have situations that have occurred in your life where you can claim that it was all God who orchestrated it all? I know I do. And I try to remember those instances so I don't forget God's goodness and his plan in it all. If you'd like to share any of those times or situations that you've experienced, would you give us a call at 865-609-1385? We'd love to hear from our listeners about how God is working in their lives. That number again to call is 865-609-1385. You can also learn more about this ministry by going to thewaymedia.net. Thanks for learning and growing from the book of Judges here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.